Hope you're going to enjoy this today. We're going to get right into our Bible study this morning. I want to do a two-part series on the Genesis, the creation. And today we'll be on the creation itself. And the next week we'll be on the fall of Adam, the fall of man. And, you know, I wish I could do an exhaustive study on them. I can't really do that the way we're doing it now. Exhaustive study would take probably months to go through and really break it down. But hopefully we can learn something new and exciting and today, and hopefully you'll come away and go, oh, I didn't think about it that way. That's always my goal. Hopefully everyone can hear and everyone can follow along here. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1. Now, I don't really usually read the entire passage or entire chapter. A lot of times it's too tedious, but I think this is a great place to do it. And so if we can read along and hopefully we can kind of see the Genesis story, the entire chapter. So we'll read Genesis chapter 1, the entire chapter, and then the first part of Genesis chapter 2 to kind of get the creation story. So let's read along. Hopefully you can read it there online and we can go through this. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then verse number 6 goes, and then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the expanse and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse number 10, God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters he called seas. Then God said it was good. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation and plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth, yielding fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and the trees yielding fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse number 14. And God said, let there be the lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be signs to indicate seasons and days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars also. Then God sent them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Then God saw that it was good. Verse number 19. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that it moves, with which the waters swarmed according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and seas. Let the birds multiply the earth. Verse 23, so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. So God made the beasts of the earth according to their kind and the livestock according to their kind and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps of the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 29. Then God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed, which is on the face of the earth, and after every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. To every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, which has a breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. So God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then chapter 2, verse 1. So the heavens and the earth and all the hosts were finished. On the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. When God was finished, he said it was good, but not just good, he said very good. Man, what a illustration of God's power and might. You know, the statement "and God said" occurred 10 times in Genesis 1. It introduces really God's first set of commandments. He would say, let there be, and it was. He created out of nothing something by the commandments and the words of God. None of these first commandments were ever broken. They stand in stark contrast with God's second set of commandments, the Ten Commandments, not one of which has ever been kept except by Christ himself. God said, light be, and light was. Nobody, even today, can tell us what light is. We know what light does, but not what light is. We know that it's power. We know that it gives heat. We know that. But it's one of the most mysterious things in the universe. We know what the absence of light is, darkness. But what is light? And physics has become an absolute, something that doesn't change, something that can't be changed or altered. Yeah, it can be bent, and it can be focused, and it can be unfocused, but it can't be altered from light itself. God had made the world. God said, light be, and light was. When God speaks, it is done. He made the dry land appear and the water to form into seas and oceans and rivers and lakes. You ever thought about the amount of power that it took to separate the waters from the water? That's what it says there in Scripture, right? The waters from the water. What kind of power would it take? The weight of the vapor continually spinning in the air above us, and what is called in the Bible the heavens, which is what our atmosphere is, continually suspended in the air above us, is estimated to be 54,460,000,000,000 tons. Now, let that sink in. The weight of all the vapor that's continually spinning in the clouds and the steam in the air in the atmosphere is estimated to be 54,460,000,000,000 billion tons. That is some amazing power to separate the water from the waters. Water is 773 times the weight of air. So it gives us some idea of the power required to separate the waters from the land. The annual precipitation in the form of rain and snow that falls upon the earth is equivalent to 186,000 cubic miles. That's enough to cover the entire earth at a depth of 3 feet all at one time. So it's no wonder that when we have floods around here in 63 inches in, you know, a few weeks, no wonder that it floods, right? That's a lot of water up there. The supply of water above the earth is maintained by evaporation. So that's why it's not flooding all the time. It's constantly evolving and evaporating. The consistent lifting of water from the earth and the atmosphere by the power that God created and the direction of physics he created of the sun. And we take all that for granted. He made the air and the atmosphere so we could breathe and the birds could fly. He made the sun to give light so the plants would grow. He planned it just right. He covered the earth's surface with water. About 3/4 of the earth is water. That would give the moisture needed for the plants to grow and enough oxygen that would come from the water for animals and us. He gave enough plants so it would filter the air and the oxygen for us. He made it over 8,000 miles thick, which would give us the gravity we would need to stay on the earth and not float. 100 miles one way or 100 miles the other way, we would either float away or we'd be sunk down so much that we couldn't jump and run. The sun could not be too close, even by 1 mile, because if it was, it'd be too hot for us. Or 1 mile away, it would be too cold for us. God made it just right. He made the earth to rotate and spin so the seasons would be perfect, and the moon to show us months and seasons. He made the plants with the perfect way to make fruit and nuts and herbs for man and animals to eat. He made the plants to be able to go to seed and insects to help pollinate them. The basic command for all living things was given by God that each would produce after its own kind. This expression occurs 10 times in Genesis. It is a foundation upon which the theory of evolution is completely squashed. God has declared that there would be no change from one kind to another kind. There may be mutation and change within a kind, but no kind is changed into another kind. The principle of genetics have firmly established that the fact that inherited life characteristics are through genes, the DNA of a certain kind. And the Bible recognizes various types of animals within its kind. There are different owls and other various types of other living creatures that the Bible would mention within its kind. Therefore, the biblical word kind is not limited to our modern term of species. There are many varieties of fish and plants and cattle, just like a variety of humans. We may have new species of tomatoes, but they're still the same kind, a tomato. There may be changes within a species, yet tomatoes have not developed into cantaloupes or watermelons. There may have been changes within the dog kind, but they've not developed into lions or bears. The Bible teaches the fixity of species and that each biblical kind can only reproduce within certain fixed boundaries. Change within a kind is consistent with a biblical teaching. Different colors or beaks of a parrot, but it's still a bird and still considered a parrot. The Bible allows for change or variations within the plants or animals. But cats cannot mate with dogs or pigs or apes, and they can't become dogs after mating with them. The Bible is certainly not unscientific when it says that kinds of plants and animals are limited in the degree in which they can change. So people always say that the Bible is not scientific. Oh, it's very scientific. And God knew exactly what it was. He created light, remember? He created the power to keep water above the ground and floating in the air, right? He created animals and people and fruits and stuff like that after its own kind. God made it just right. He made all the animals to give us substance, but also to clean the ground, to help fertilize the garden. Now think about it. Ants and worms to help clean and to things that would be cleaned up and stuff like that in our gigantic garden. At the beginning, all the animals, and he did this. This is a cool thing. He did it before there would be death. So he knew what would be needed because he knew what would happen. At the beginning, all the animals didn't fear man. Man could pet lions and hippos. But sadly, we can't now. God made it just right. He made man to breathe and to walk and to think and to laugh, to jump, to skip, to run. He made our heartbeat and our lungs to breathe and our brain for it to all come together. You ever thought about the thought process you have inside your brain to make your heart beat? No, it just happens, right? We breathe. Yeah, we can stop breathing, but now we don't even think about it throughout the day. We just breathe. When we drink some water, we don't think about digesting. It just does it. Our brain does all that behind the scenes. We don't think about it. He made that. He made our kidneys, our liver, our bladder, even the appendix and our armpits. He made all that exactly the way it was supposed to be. God made the colors, every color you can think of, he made. We have new lights in the sanctuary, and it says we have 16 million different light combinations. God made every one of those. Isn't it amazing to think about that? That God made every light combination, every color combination it could be. Before God said it was very good, he made this statement in Genesis 2:18, which is a parenthetical passage. If we read it, chapters 2, he's going back and illustrating how he made man and woman. So it's a parenthetical passage. I'll give you more detail of the creation story. But he said this, before he said it was very good, he said, it is not good. It is not good that man should be alone. And they made woman. And then after he made man and woman, he said, now it's very good. God made it just right. He made a helper for man. He caused a sleep to come over Adam, took a rib, made the woman to symbolize that she would always be by his side. God made it just right. The man came from the dust of the ground. The woman came from his own flesh, symbolizing that they are joined together as one flesh. I'm sure that the man named Adam saw his mate Eve and thought she was prettier than any planet, any plant, any animal or color God had created. You know how I know that? Because he looked at her and went, whoa, man, woman. They were now to name the animals and live in the garden and have a family. How wonderful was the life in the Garden of Eden? There was nothing to grieve, nothing to hurt man. Even the roses wouldn't have thorns on them. Even the insects that had to be there didn't bother Adam and Eve. Maybe they're buzzing around them, sound like music to them. God made it just right. And the best thing was that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. There was no sin, no hate, no envy, no fear, no unholiness before a holy God. That is what heaven will be like when we get there. I can't wait. But God made it just right. He put them in a place that would take care of them forever. The right amount of food and the right amount of air. And to keep us from being bored with no work to do. People always thought, well, if there's no work to do, they would be bored. No, he gave them every flower, every color, the stars of the skies to gaze upon, the soft morning dew to make everything clean in the morning. Can you imagine waking up to paradise every day, walking around and seeing that beautiful thing? I would never get bored. God made it just right. He did all of that for mankind. He loved us so much. He wanted everything perfect for us. What a loving and merciful God. God says that everything was very good, and he meant it. When God created mankind, he meant and desired it to stay the way it was. Very good. In Hebrews 2, we can see what God's desire was. He says, Hebrews 2 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things under him, he left nothing that is not subjected to him. Mankind was a crowning point of his creation. We were made for his pleasure, and he crowned Adam and Eve with glory and honor. They were made in his image. They were made to be the image bearers of the Creator, to be over all the works that God created. All things would be in subjection to them. God still loves us the same way. He has given us a way to make everything very good again. He gave us Christ. Christ who died for us so he could have a chance to have life. We could have a chance to have life again and be very good. And to live in heaven with him for all eternity. A place that is and always will be very good. God made it just right. When we think about the creation story, we think about the wonderful story of creation, we think about how amazing that is, that he created it just to be that. Just to be that. Let me see if I got any comments over here, and we can look at some of these. Omnipotent. Yeah, Cindy put on there omnipotent. The thought about that being having all knowledge, all power, omnipotent, that all power be able to do all things. I like that. Landa put on here perfection. Yes, very good, perfect. Just like he's made us now, accepting Christ, he's made us perfect in him. Well, I can't wait until the world we live around is also perfect. But at least inside, we are perfect in Christ. Amen? I think that's all. And so, hey, guys, make sure you continue watching these online Wednesday mornings. Don't forget tonight for our business meeting, and I'll give you an update on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. What we talk about. If you want to come tonight for the business meeting, come out and kind of have a say-so input or thought process or at least know what's going on with our next phase and what we're going to be doing to kind of get us back together again. Church band, it's been great to be with you this morning, and I hope you had a good day and hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you maybe took something from this and go out your day just thinking about the power that God has. Just that thought I learned there about the amount of weight, the trillions and billions of tons of water. That just blows me away. Think about the power that God has to do that. So, hey, hope it's encouraging to you. Hope you have a great day. Church, we love you.